This is the IHS Market Fertigon Fertilizer Podcast, a podcast about events and trends in global fertilizer markets. Episodes are hosted by Fertigon's expert analysts and released regularly near major industry events. Today's episode covers the state of global nitrates markets.
Hello and welcome to the latest installment of the IHS Market Fertigon Podcast. And the first from us, the nitrates market team. Just a little introduction from me. My name is Mark Astley. I'm joining you today from my home office in the UK. I joined Fertigon in October 2016, initially working from our London office, and I cover the nitrates market from week to week. And with me is Birgit Schulz, our in-house nitrates expert. How are you today, Birgit?
Thanks, Mark. I'm very well and quite excited to be able to join you here, also from the home office, for the first ever Fertigon Nitrates podcast. In terms of introductions, I joined Fertigon in October 2014 after spending some years in agricultural commodities and analysis at our sister publication at FO Licht. First at Fertigon, I worked on the Fertigon Nitrates Futures Report, our short-term forecast, while also building up the long-term analysis, which was launched in early 2016 with the Nitrates Outlook Report. So, starting on today's topic, while news in the world are currently dominated by the COVID-19 virus and its impact on the economy and social life, we want to focus on a slightly different topic today. Mark and I want to discuss UAN and more specifically the impact of the anti-dumping duties imposed in the European Union last year. As many of you will know, provisional ad valorem anti-dumping duties were imposed on UAN from Russia, the United States and Trinidad in April 2019. And then half a year later in October, definitive euro per ton tariffs were imposed on UAN from producers in these countries. So, Mark, what has been the initial impact of these duties on the UAN market?
Thanks, Birgit. Well, the immediate impacts, first of the provisional duties that were introduced in April, then of the definitive duties that were imposed in October, can be seen quite clearly in the import and export data from last year. So if we have a quick look at the import data from France, last year in 2019, they imported just over 200,000 tonnes of UAN from Russia, which was less than half of the 520,000 tonnes it imported from Russia in 2018. And since October, when the definitive euro per tonne anti-dumping duties were introduced, there's been hardly any UAN arrive from Russia. Imports from the United States of UAN were also down in 2019 at just 235,000 tonnes, which was down 70% year on year from more than 790,000. Interestingly, imports from Trinidad actually increased year on year in 2019 by about 6%, or around 20,000 tonnes to approximately 275,000 tonnes, despite the anti-dumping duties. Although this isn't too surprising, as we did see roughly one vessel month arrive from Trinidad still. That said, if we do have a quick look at the period April to February, imports from Trinidad are actually down by about 100,000 tonnes year on year. So perhaps we're seeing the knock-on effect slightly better there. But with less UAN around from the United States, Russia and Trinidad, we have a void. This has at least partially been filled by European and Belarusian products. So if we have a quick look at arrivals from the Netherlands, from producers OCI and Yara in 2019, they increased 43% year on year to about 440,000 tonnes, while imports from Lithuania, I guess specifically from Akema, also increased by 82%. From around 190,000 tonnes in 2018 to nearly 350,000 tonnes. But it was imports from Belarus that did most to plug the gap in the market last year. Close to 330,000 tonnes arrived from Belarus in 2019, compared with just 45,000 tonnes the previous year.
Oh, thanks, Mark. That's quite interesting on the trade data there. And what has been the impact on prices for UAN in Europe so far, specifically for the benchmark France Rouen price series?
Thanks, Birgit. Well, when the provisional anti-dumping duties were introduced in April last year, prices at Rouen were relatively high at around 170, 180, and Akron continued to ship volumes to France and Belgium for its subsidiary there, Akron France. Now, though, shipping UAN to these key European UAN markets isn't an option for Akron and Eurochem. And if we have a look at the prices today at Rouen, which sit at around 160 euros FCA for prompt lifting, we can do a quick calculation. And using that basic calculation, this price would net back to just over $100 FOB Baltic. With the cost of UAN production ex-plant estimated at $77 per tonne, based on an estimated gas price of $2 MMBTU, it doesn't offer much room for margin, especially when you're not considering the cost of transporting UAN from plant to port. What's more, with the significantly higher netbacks currently being achieved in the United States, higher current demand from Russia, good opportunities in markets like Australia, Argentina, Canada, why would Akron even consider shipping UAN to Europe at the moment anyway? Back in Europe, nowadays, European UAN suppliers such as Yara, OCI and Akema, and traders such as Amaropa, which has shipped significant volumes of Belarusian UAN to Rouen in the last year, they hold greater sway over the markets and prices. With availability reduced, you know, from Russia and the United States, there was the potential for FCA prices at Rouen to firm, particularly during good periods of demand. However, the influx of UAN from Belarus, Lithuania and the Netherlands has helped plug this gap in the supply of UAN. And also gas prices in Europe for producers of UAN have remained relatively low in the last year. So as a comparison, if we look at the first half of April last year, prompt prices at Rouen were 20 euros higher than they are today at around 180 euros FCA. Looking at the short-term forecast, Birgit, what impact has it had?
Well, overall, the UAN price projections have come down considerably since the introduction of the anti-dumping duties, of course. This is true for all the UAN series, but the biggest effect has been on the NOLA price series in the United States. Due to oversupply in the domestic market there and on the back of a lack of export markets, the price projections have been revised down from month to month, basically. But this is not a surprise, though. Probably the more interesting aspect regarding the changes in the price forecast are the changing differentials between the series, and most notably the differential between US NOLA and the France Rouen series. In the past, the differential between these two price series has undergone wide fluctuations, and in fact has recently, just amid the duties, reversed signs. Back in 2014, the annual average differential was well in favor of US NOLA, and this has come down to a nearly level differential in the year 2018, although still slightly in favor of US NOLA. And now, amid the anti-dumping duties on UAN from the United States into Europe in 2019, the situation has changed completely. The 2019 average differential was, in fact, 19 in favor of France Rouen. And this has been building up further in the first quarter of 2020 to an average of 27 so far. Currency fluctuations do not play a major role here. So the latest increase in the differential for France Rouen is on the back of these anti-dumping duties. And I guess going forward, regarding the short-term price projections, The focus will be on the differential between NOLA and Rouen and how that will evolve. So this will be the main focus and also the main challenge to assess in the future.
Thanks, Birgit. Let's have a quick look at the UAM producers affected by the anti-dumping duties imposed in the EU. What has CF Industries said, Birgit, so far about it all?
Well, CF Industries, just to give a little bit of background, is probably one of the most efficient and cost-effective integrated producers of nitrogen fertilizers today. The company had in recent years exported more UAN to the main destinations in Europe, and that was after they built up capacity at Donaldsonville in 2016. Exports from the United States, which is essentially CF Industries exports to Europe, increased from 200 to 250,000 tons per year back in 2014 and 15 to more than 870,000 tons in 2018. Then, as mentioned earlier, the European anti-dumping duties became a reality in 2019, first provisional and then definitive in October. Reported UAN exports from the United States to the main destinations in Europe were just over 220,000 tons in 2019, so back at the level they were in 2014 and 2015. So as mentioned earlier, this is just a little background and so that we know what volumes we're talking about here. CF Industries has in fact made a couple of interesting comments regarding the anti-dumping duties in Europe in a recent analyst call. Their senior vice president, sales, market development and supply chain, Mr. Bert Frost, said that he doesn't think that CF will be exporting to the European Union at all this year. And this is something that we can confirm so far. We have not recorded a single shipment of UAN from the United States to the European Union this year yet. And in fact, the only shipment we've so far recorded was one to Argentina. This latter point relates to a second comment that was made during the analyst call. CF sees Latin America as one of the main growth markets. Argentina is actually, in fact, an established market for UAN imports and has been over the past several years. Another focus of CF Industries will lie on Brazil, Colombia, Mexico, as well as Chile. All of these efforts take time, though, and may be limited by a lack of investment in infrastructure. But now, slightly coming back to the anti-dumping duties in the European Union, CF said that the market will take time to rebalance after the disruption of trade flows caused by the duties. And while this takes place, the company intends to develop other regional markets further, such as Latin America, but also utilize their production capabilities to make different products and change the product mix a bit. What needs to be remembered here is that CF Industries is a relatively flexible producer of nitrogen fertilizers. The company reported in the past that its potential output can vary between 8.7 million short tons of UAN and 4.8 million short tons of urea when UAN production is maximized, and 5.2 million short tons of UAN and 5.8 million short tons of urea when urea output is maximized. So this essentially means that the company can vary UAN output by around 3.5 million short tons per year. This is already sort of big amount of flexibility. And additionally, they could also maximize the production of other smaller subproducts like nitric acid and DEF. What we know so far is that the company is already making less UAN at the moment. And this flexibility in terms of production capability can also help to rebalance the UAN market in the United States, which has been oversupplied recently. As it seems also that CF Industries does have a hold on the US market. We've seen the benchmark price at NOLA collapse over the past month. The price series as such by around $80 per short ton between January 2019 and February 2020. But the price has also collapsed in relation to urea. And this is only logical, as there has been too much UAN around at a time when demand was subdued. CF Industries also mentioned that once trade flows have rebalanced, they expect margins will be net neutral between UAN and urea again, or even positive for UAN. Well, so, Mark, this has been a quick look at the United States and CF Industries. How about Russia and Trinidad, the other two main origins affected by the anti-dumping duties on UAN in the European Union? What have producers there said?
Well, if we have a quick look first at the export data last year from Russia, unsurprisingly, we see a decrease in deliveries to Europe. But we also see a decent increase in exports to the United States. In 2019, about 2.2 million tons was shipped from Russia to the US. This was up by around 30% year on year. And there was also a slight increase in exports to Argentina and also to Australia. And if we also look at UAN exports from Estonia, which have historically appeared to reflect shipments of Russian UAN by Akron from the port of Sillamäe, they also decreased in 2019 by 39% year on year, from about 440,000 tons to around 270,000 tons. In 2019, these exports from Estonia to France, they were down as well by about 48%, while those from Estonia to Belgium, they also decreased year on year by around 59%. And there have been no shipments of UAN from Estonia to European markets since September last year, which I think we can safely assume is a direct result of the introduction of the definitive €42.47 per ton anti-dumping duty imposed on Akron UAN in October. Despite this, though, both Akron and Eurochem have maintained some sort of a presence at Rouen. Eurochem, whose UAN is subject to a duty of €27.77 per ton, it continues to trade at Rouen in a minor capacity, but it hasn't shipped Russian UAN to France for some time either. And Akron, through its subsidiary there, is also active at both Rouen and Ghent, where it has tank capacities. But again, it hasn't shipped any of its own UAN to either port for some time. One way for these two producers to get around the additional tariffs that have now been imposed on their product is to source and ship UAN of another origin. And in the last year, we've seen both Akron and Eurochem secure some volumes from Belarusian producer Grodno via tender to ship to Europe. Interestingly, the production of UAN at Eurochem and Akron wasn't reduced in 2019. Akron reported actually a 21.6% increase in UAN output in 2019 to around 1.73 million tonnes. And Eurochem reported that despite a 43% decrease in the amount of UAN it had shipped to Europe, volume sales of UAN as a whole actually increased by 4%. Eurochem, they've redirected volumes to North America, Argentina and Australia. And it has also flagged that the UAN market is expected to get support from the US and Russian domestic demand in the short term and further demand in Argentina and Australia. This year, for example, Eurochem's already loaded one cargo for Australia for CSBP, and it's understood they will load another two cargoes in April and in May. Akron, they've also been looking to Australia and to Argentina to offload any surplus created by the anti-dumping duties in Europe. In Australia, it's understood Acron has a supply agreement with IPL, and so far this year they've loaded one cargo for Australia and will load another one in April. It's also developing its presence in Argentina. It's established a local distribution company there, which received its first UAN cargo from the Baltic in May last year. And to support the direct sale of liquid fertiliser there, Acron has leased about 50,000 tonnes of tank space at the ports of San Martin and Zarate. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing those correctly. In last year, it supplied more than 100,000 tonnes of liquid fertiliser to Argentina. In the near future, it's hoping, it's targeting a 20% share of the liquid fertiliser market in Argentina. So it clearly has big plans there. Just as you said, CF does in Latin America as a whole, Birgit. A quick look at Trinidad. At €22.24 per ton, UAN from Trinidad is subject to the lowest anti-dumping duty imposed by the European Union. And on paper, there has been minimal impact on its shipments to Europe. It has continued to load cargoes for France, Belgium and Spain. And there was actually an increase, as I said, in imports of Trinidadian UAN in all these countries in 2019. And overall, there was actually a year-on-year increase in UAN production and exports to all markets in 2019, according to data from the country's Ministry of Energy and Energy Industries. That said, we've also seen UAN from Trinidad compete with products from the United States and Russia in the new UAN battleground of Argentina, which is perhaps a sign of how the market might develop and a sign of things to come. Generally, European Union anti-dumping duties remain in place for 5 years, which would take us to October 2024. Birgit, what impact do you see on the UAN supply-demand balance and price projections in the next few years as a result?
Well, that is actually at the moment not an easy question to answer, Mark. The estimated UAN consumption in Europe is around 5 million tonnes per year. And this compares to production of roughly 3.6 million tonnes. So there is a gap to fill. In the recent years, this gap has been filled with imports and primarily actually from the United States, Russia and Trinidad. And I don't think that we will see considerable and regular shipments into Europe anymore from these origins amid the anti-dumping duties, as these have generally made the European market unattractive for producers in these countries. However, the European Union producers do have a total production capacity of around 8.4 million tonnes, which is heavily underutilized at the moment. So, I mean, given that the most competitive tonnes are now being pushed out of the import market, there could be a real opportunity for local producers to increase output and serve the local market here in Europe. There could be, however, constraints regarding feedstock availability as well as logistics in some cases. When looking at global trade, I think we will see some real battlegrounds for these competitive UAN tons that are now not moving into Europe in the coming years. As mentioned earlier, I think the United States producers and most notably CF Industries are well positioned and also flexible enough to balance their output. In terms of destination markets battlegrounds for that matter now, Australia and Argentina come to mind here first as two already established UAN markets. But in addition to that, we could see more marketing pushes into less established markets around the world as well.
Thank you very much, Birgit. That is it from us today. Thank you very much for listening.
Don't forget, you can subscribe to IHS Market Fertikon podcasts on Apple Podcasts as well as Google Podcasts, where you can also rate us and leave comments. I think you'll hear from us again soon. Thank you very much for now, and goodbye.
Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. For more information about Ferticon and IHS Market, visit the link in the show description. Thank you for listening.